Hi, I'm Robert Sauter.
I am Jaron Clark.
And this is... What is the week? What is the day?
What is the... That is a good question. It's the... Let's see here.
It's the week of the apes.
It is the week of the apes.
I may want to do that another take.
We sound unprofessional. It is the second week in August. It's the 10th.
Okay, so let's do name introductions again. I'll just cut this and we'll say, this is the second week of August. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
In the year of our Lord, 2011.
Yeah.
Let's bring God into it.
Immediately. Let's just let them know what they're in for.
This is an all Jesus podcast.
This is an all Jesus podcast.
Actually, I'm not going to add this at all. We're going to keep that in because that brings me to another thing before I list the rest of the topics.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so this morning a Jehovah's Witness came to my house.
Wait, you didn't open with that?
I didn't open with
Why
that.
Why didn't you open with
because
that?
Because I completely forgot until you mentioned that.
Until we mentioned the All Jesus podcast.
Yes, the year of our Lord. Apparently, this guy had been to the house a couple weeks ago when my dad was the only one around,
mm-hmm.
and gave him some literature and a little Bible for Jesus. Well,
wait, about the Bible?
Jesus.
Okay, the Bible is for Jesus or about Jesus?
And he's wearing Geek Squad attire.
Okay,
you know, like
wait,
black tie.
Was he a? Okay, continue, go. Was he a Geek Squad, or was he a Jehovah's Witness, or was he a Mormon?
He's the, I don't know.
Because
I didn't get to see the literature.
Don't the Mormons typically wear, like, the tie and the,
yeah,
the shirt?
Yeah, I guess he could have been a Mormon.
You know?
You said, hi, my name is Bill. Stay around? No, he's away on business at the moment. Oh, well, I just came by a little while ago and dropped off some literature and a Bible, and I just wanted to hear what he had to say. And I completely forgotten, but yeah, about 2 weeks ago, he came when my dad was around. Sort of was very friendly to him. Well, not very friendly, but he was, okay,
he was
I'll
civil.
Take this, and, you know. I don't think he expected to follow.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we just said dad was home, and he said, okay, so what's your name?
I'm Jody.
Are you Ted's wife?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay, then.
See, I thought you would answer.
I'll be back in a couple days.
I thought you would answer.
No, my mom answered.
I thought you would answer
also...
the door and that you had told him that your name was Jody and that you were your dad's wife.
Yes. All those things are true.
All these things are true.
I am my father's wife.
I say.
It's weird. But it works for us.
Oh, you know what you need to get for this thing?
What?
That fucking hand.
But,
don't make this a whole lot easier.
My mom answered the door, but I had to be at the door, too, to take care of our new dog.
Ah, yes.
Our new dog.
Yes, you told me.
On Friday, we got a new dog. He was featured in the paper. In the week's ad for, you know, the pound puppies.
Wow.
And the pound dogs, whatever.
Yeah.
Pound dogs and cats, where he was listed under the name of Mo.
Mo.
Quotations, 5 years.
Yeah.
He's 5 years old. He's a stray. I guess somebody just found him wandering around.
Yeah.
That's took actually, him in. That's... No tags, no collar. Springer Spaniel.
Yeah.
At least half, we think he's purebred.
Uh-huh.
But without documentation.
There's no way to know, yeah.
He looks a bit like Opal. I mean, there's some pictures on the phone, which I guess I should have showed you before.
You can show me after.
Yeah, I can show you after. He's a runner.
Yeah?
He likes to run, and the first couple days, whenever, you know, a door was left slightly ajar, he just bolt out, and my parents would have to chase him down.
Yeah.
Which is not
pleasant.
The best option for them.
No.
Being, you know, in their 50s now.
Your parents are old!
My That's what they said. We're not really in the age where we can go run after him anymore. Yeah. We have to keep him on the leash for a while.
Yeah.
So we're doing like 3 walks a day for the dog to get him familiar with the neighborhood. And hopefully then he'll not run away all the time. Was their best guess was he was a house pet because he is house trained. He knows not to pee all over the floor. He is friendly with people.
Cool.
He does jump, but it's not like scratching anything. It's like, oh, hey, I'm getting closer so you can pet me better type of thing.
Do you still refer to him by Mo?
We call him Hank.
Nice. He
changed his name to Hank.
You have Opal and Hank.
One was Mo was a little bit close to Opal. Mo and,
Mopal?
Yeah, well, that's what they call him that.
Mopal.
They call Opal that sometimes. Mopal. She mopes around.
Aww, Mopal. You know,
she's a moper. And we thought that might get confusing. They were reminded of... My name suggestion was Lex.
Lex.
Just because. I don't know.
Hackman.
Yeah. Hackman. He reminded me of a lot of Lex Luthor because the dog wants to rule the world. It's very clear.
Yeah.
Seeing him scheme with his paws, just rubbing them together. Just imagining that he had money in between.
Yes.
It was Lex and Hank, and Hank comes from... There was a book series I used to read as a kid called Hank the Cow Dog, which was about this dog in Texas named Hank. And it's told from his point of view, and, you know, he's always, like, misinterpreting things, and he's, like, very inflated sense of ego. Mm-hmm. I'm out to defend the farm from this thing and that thing, and, yeah, completely, like, misinterpreting stuff. Like, I'm going to defend our head cowhand from a siester.
Siester.
Sounds like an evil being to me. And,
he's
saying I'm going to take a siesta.
Yes. I see.
So that's they had over 50 of those.
Wow.
I think I dropped out at about 40. Which
in
kids' books level, so that's probably me. 3 or 4 years of that.
Yeah, wow, that's intense.
I also like to think that he's named after Hank Schrader from Breaking Bad, which you haven't seen yet.
No, I haven't.
We have to get on that.
I do. There's a lot of stuff I gotta get on.
So do you remember when you got your dog? Hulk's?
Yeah, actually it was sort of the same type of thing. It wasn't in the paper or anything, but he was actually a stray dog that was wandering our neighborhood, sort of. It wasn't like he was like a stray dog that had been wandering it forever. It was like he had just shown up, you know, and was just, I can't remember who found him. It was somebody around the area had found him, and he needed a place or something like that. And actually we had, not just recently, baby hadn't just recently died, our first dog. But it wasn't too long after that, and we had considered getting another dog, or just, you know, not getting another dog, but then Hoss just kind of showed up. He was actually in sort of bad shape when he showed up first. He was extremely timid, so it appeared that somebody had beaten him, like, pretty badly. You know, like, he was absolutely frightened by people, and he would jerk and run away anytime you made any slightly quick movements whatsoever. He also had heartworms, like, really bad. The best we could come up with was that Hoss had belonged to somebody who either couldn't afford or didn't want to take care of the whole heartworm situation and knew the dog was going to die. And so he just dumped the dog off and left it somewhere. It just happened to be one. That's our best guess, because, like I said, he was in pretty bad shape. So he had to go through some pretty kind of intense, treatment to get rid of all the heartworms and obviously get on the medication. And actually, in kind of a 2-week period, he got over the whole heartworm thing, and yeah, how long have we had him now?
How'd you come to the name Moss?
That was my dad's decision. He's named after, I can't remember what show it was in. He knows what show it was in, but a guy called Hoss Clarkwright is his name. And he was in a show, so Dad decided that that was going to be his name for some reason. It actually kind of fits, because Hoss isn't all that bright.
How long did it take for him to accept the new name?
You know, I really don't know. He was always, because he was always kind of, he was really timid at first, so he just kind of responded to everything, you know? So I'm not really sure how long it took for the name to take, but, I know it took a good, few months at least before he was, really comfortable around the house, you know? Where he wasn't freaking out anytime you, like, there was a loud sound or somebody moved quick or something like that. There's still a little bit of that left, but you definitely wouldn't know that he was in such bad shape. I think we've had Hoss for a couple of years now, at least. I can't remember how long now, but yeah, that's kind of, so it was kind of the same type of event where he was astray and he was kind of in bad shape. We took care of him.
Hank doesn't seem abused. He does have an ear problem and a butt problem.
A butt problem?
Funnily enough, are the exact same things that are wrong with Opal.
Ah, a butt problem.
A butt problem. In some sort. I don't want to get into it because I don't know. It's something that needs popped.
Huh.
Yeah, let's just leave it at that, yeah.
That's
graphic enough,
I think. Not pleasant at all. that's something popping on butts. And that's not pleasant at all.
Yeah.
Okay, so butt problems.
So when we adopted, I guess my dad had been there earlier on Friday to take a look at him, and then immediately talked my mom to. I guess my mom has wanted a second dog for a little while, just at least someone to keep Opal company.
Yeah.
So we brought her in to meet him before the adoption was made.
How's Opal taking it?
Well, when they met, she was very scared and didn't even really want to interact with him. You know, kept sort of like, not exactly shaking, but sort of a little short of that.
Yeah.
And sort of cowering. And then sort of by the end of the meeting, she was a little more accepting.
Yeah.
Then when they got home, yeah, first day was fine. And then I think maybe it was about 2 days ago, they started to get into a little bit more conflict. She is, you know, growling, baring the teeth, barking at him, and 2 days ago, yeah, 2 days ago, they got into a fight where they're sort of nipping at each other, and so he ended up biting her on the neck, which we didn't notice for a couple of hours.
Oh, wow.
Or maybe not the neck, but more, like, high torso towards the neck. So, and she had to get some antibiotics for that, in case.
Yeah.
And there's still some people, like, I was swimming yesterday, and, Opal was in the water because she loves to swim. Mm-hmm. And then Hank, I guess, has never swum before, because when we brought him to the house, yeah, we had the little landing that sort of goes straight into the water, and he sort of looked frightened of it. Mm-hmm. And I sort of kept walking him over there, and eventually, you know, he sort of laps at it and then takes a step or two in, and Opal just keeps going in and out of it, sort of show him how it works, and eventually sort of reluctantly patters in.
Okay. Let's see.
So, when I was swimming yesterday, I'm swimming, she's swimming, and he's sort of pacing the seawall, looking down, and sort of bring his front paws down on the seawall so he can drink from the lake.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very apparent that he's curious about the water, and If we take him to the landing, he'll swim, but he won't jump in on his own yet.
Yeah.
And she's following him as he's pacing.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like a shark a little bit, sort of swimming back and forth on the very edge of the seawall.
Yeah.
Like guarding against him a little bit.
I see.
And then eventually he comes down to get for a drink of water, and then she starts baring her teeth straight up at him, sort of like the Jaws poster where it's like the jaw.
I say.
And, had to pull them apart again.
I say.
So she keeps getting jealous. Hopefully she'll get used to him. I mean, she's good with him most of the time. It's just these occasional bouts of trying to establish dominance.
Yeah.
Actually, I have to stay in this left lane to take that turn up in.
Yes. Yes, you do.
So, let's see, next bit, I guess.
Yeah. I think that covers the dog.
Why don't we talk about Portal 2? I loaned that to you. You just finished it. I finished it about a month ago.
Yeah.
We haven't gone through all the co-op campaigns.
No, we need to get back to it.
But we have both finished the single player.
Yes.
What did you think of Portal 2?
I like how late we're getting to this, by the way, considering how long Portal 2 has been out.
It's been like 3-4 months. That's not too long.
It feels longer. Portal 2. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the first one though. So
how does it compare?
How
about humor wise? Is it as funny?
6 miles. Turn left on Northville Road.
It's still funny. It's still funny in the same way that, like, that Portal was funny. Because, I mean, it's like, it's the same sense of humor.
Yes.
That the other one. It's just more of it.
Yeah.
It's certainly a lot less subtle. It's a lot more in your face with it.
Definitely.
Especially
with Wheatley. He's very on the nose.
Yeah. Yes, he is. Which is actually quite enjoyable. He was probably my favorite part of that game.
Yeah, that voice actor was great.
Yeah, he was perfect.
Stephen Merchant, I think, was his name.
Yeah. But yeah, he was delightful. Like, even, I don't know, spoilers, I suppose, I should say now, if we get into him. But, like, even later on in the game where he's trying to kill you, you know, he's, I still was thoroughly enjoyed by him.
He still has a charm to him.
Yeah, I was still thoroughly enjoyed by him.
It's just the Britishness, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the Britishness. That's exactly what it is. But yeah, he was great. Yeah, it's a little less subtle than the other game was, which I think is to this game specifically's benefit. You know, the subtle angle worked more with the first one because it was shorter than it would have worked in this one.
And it was sort of a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And now the cat's out of the bag. Okay,
yeah.
this is a genuinely good, funny game.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to hide that.
Exactly. Yeah, and it would have actually been annoying if they had tried to. You know, because everybody knows now. Everybody knows all of the jokes in the first game. You know, I'm really glad they didn't try to just rehash everything. Like, for instance, one great thing is there's not even one mention.
Drive 5.9 miles on Northville Road.
There's not even, like, one mention of, like, cake.
No, not at all.
Which is great. I'm sure everyone kind of felt like it got old after a while. You know what I mean? And they did use it quite a bit in the first game, but just the idea, it's really good that they didn't just try to use it like a crutch, like, oh yeah, you remember all those cool things about the first game? You know what I mean?
Yes.
They instead of doing that, they invented new cool things for you to like, specifically about this one. Although there were little references here or there which were entertaining, like, I did thoroughly enjoy, there's a little bit about the companion cube later on.
The callback, yes.
The callback, where they don't directly come out and say it's the companion cube, but you know it's the companion cube because it's got the little heart shape on the side of it.
Yeah.
That was thoroughly enjoyable.
That was a very nice coda.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But yeah,
Did you think, what do you think of the puzzles? Were they puzzles better, more challenging?
You know, the puzzles were fun. I want to say they were more challenging and because they had new stuff. You know, there were the light bridges, the little magnetic fields, and the gel.
Faith plates
and stuff like that. They brought more stuff, so, I mean, it's new stuff, so you have to get used to it. But
actually,
I did realize...
Sir, funny seeing you get used to that in the co-op. Like,
yeah.
They sort of throw it at you because even though... It's funny because they say you can play either one first, but mm-hmm. clearly you should play single player before tackling the co-op because
yes.
there's no introduction.
Yeah.
To the new elements, they're just thrown at you.
Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, co-op takes place timeline wise after the single player.
Yes, yes. Did you notice where that comes in? Were they?
Yes, yeah. Yes, I did. Yeah, I did catch it. I also caught a couple of little instances of you can find the other two robots here or there. If you look quick enough, there's like a couple of spots.
Oh,
they
are
just
there?
Yeah.
I missed it.
And it's far off in the distance where you can find them, where they're just kind of wandering around, because it's when Wheatley's basically kind of destroying the place.
Okay.
You know, because he doesn't know how the place works. But there's a couple of instances where like walls pull away, where you'll catch like one of the robots kind of skeeter off into the distance. So that was kind of fun. At least I'm pretty sure that's what I was seeing. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's what I had seen. And it was really only once or twice where I caught stuff, little stuff like that.
Now the most important question is, did you save the turret or did you kill the turret?
Save
the turret. That's different. That's its dialogue, isn't it? I'm different. And like pops up like twice.
I guess I don't know. I guess I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Okay.
I don't know what I did. Are you talking about the turret that you have to use to?
No, there's another one. Later. Pops up like very early on in the game when you're like passing through stuff and it's like in a tube and Lee was like, I'll just ignore that. Go ahead.
Oh, I did ignore it.
And then it pops up later in the game again when it's like on the conveyor belt to like be burned to death.
Oh yeah.
And
I see.
Like, save me, I'm different.
Okay. So does something specific happen if you save it?
You get an achievement. But that's it.
I'll have to go back because I do want to run through the game again.
It says, thank you if you
Okay. Alive. Okay. Yeah, I actually just kind of ignored him. That was one of those things I didn't catch on my first, but I know which one you're talking about now. But yeah, I do want to. I only played through it the one time. I kind of want to play through it again.
Get a completely different ending. It comes in, it blows up Wheatley. It's like, I'm different. I'm awesome.
Did you
catch the orchestra earlier in the game?
Orchestra.
The orchestra that plays during the credits. Yeah,
maybe.
When you're going up in the elevator.
Oh yeah.
They have it earlier in the game, too.
Oh, do they?
I didn't catch it in my first time run. Like, there's a spot where there's a turret that's placed in a like, event that you can't really get to that mm-hmm. keeps shooting at you.
Yeah.
And you don't have a gun. But if you... Mm-hmm. I've looked up on YouTube, apparently, there's a very complicated... Well, not complicated, but there's a bit where if you disarm it, you can go through that particular vent and you'll see the orchestra...
Before the
ending. Yeah.
That's cool.
It's a smaller version. It doesn't have the animal
king. The animal king. I love that thing.
Yeah. Oh, crap. Stuff's about to come down. No.
Animal king.
It's a conductor.
It's a conductor, yes. I guess comparison, it's really just, it's more of the same. It's just bigger. And it's definitely the kind of sequel that a sequel should be. It takes everything that was cool about the first game, and just kind of adds to it. You know what I mean? Like it's the same basic puzzle solving skills and everything you developed in the first one, but it's just there's more tools, more stuff you can play with. You know what I mean? And actually, the further I got in the game, the easier it kind of got, even though the puzzles were getting harder, because just you get used to the game mechanics and you figure out how things work a little bit quicker, you know what I mean?
Definitely.
So that's actually the funny thing about Portal is that, you know, as the puzzles get harder, they're actually getting a wee bit easier just because you get faster at recognizing what you're supposed to do with the tools that are put in front of you. So, you know, I think, and I'm going to go ahead and stick to this, because when you asked me the first time which one I liked more, which one I thought was better, I like 2 more just because there's more of it to enjoy. And I definitely enjoyed a lot of the humor that was just in the second one. And there, you know, it's probably because I just recently played through it and there's more of it. But I still think the first one was better than the second one. And it's just because it's not quite as heavy-handed in places as the second one is. And it wasn't necessarily their fault that the second one was heavy-handed. They did a great job with what they had, but they took what was supposed to be, you know, a small, simple little game, you know, just a kind of a little throwaway game that they could just, you know, put on when they put it on the orange box, and then they had to make an entire full sequel out of it. You know, and also to their credit, they could have easily given us another, like, first Portal size game and made us pay full price for it. You know what I mean? Like, they could have done that because other companies have gotten away with a lot.
Yes. A lot worse.
But they actually went really in depth at that game. Actually, one of my favorite parts about it, spoilers.
8.6 miles. They're left on Indiana 17.
Again, spoilers, was later on in the game, you go all the way down to the bottom of the facility and work your way back up, and you get to see the history of Aperture Science, and that was actually one of my favorite parts of the game.
Yes, I liked what they wrote, and I thought J.K. Simmons was amazing.
Yes.
As Cave Johnson.
Yes.
They're left on Indiana 17.
He was also quite entertaining. But, yeah, so I still think the first one was better, but that's just because it's just that perfect little neat little package that was that game. It was the perfect amount of subtle, you know, dark humor.
Drive 3.4 miles, then turn right on Indiana 8.
You know, it was kind of like the perfect kind of puzzle solving game that was both challenging and rewarding. You know, it was very rewarding once you learned how to do everything. And, you know, it also kind of warranted itself to, you know, at least some of a replayability, in the sense that once you learned the mechanic, it was just fun to play with the mechanic. You know, see what you could get away with in it. So, I mean, you know, that just kind of everything about that first game that you play, it's really hard to take anything down about that game. But the second one is such a different entity all its own, and kind of such a bigger beast of a story that it has to handle, that there's some inherent flaws that you sort of notice just because of the size of the, you know, of the game that they were trying to create.
Definitely.
So I guess that's my wrap up opinion of 2. Still great, and I still want to replay through it again before I put it down. But the only thing I was sad about the second one, because I mean, they have the co-op, but they didn't, I really wish they had had like when they put out the orange box on Xbox,
yeah,
and they had the extra advanced levels where they just made the puzzles harder.
Yeah,
I really wish they had done a few like that for the Xbox, for the Portal 2, because I really liked the advanced levels when I went back and went through them again on the first one. I don't know if they have more like that. I know that they on the PC or the Steam,
yeah,
one, they have like create your own level type things, and I'm sure that would be fun, but I'm on an Xbox, I don't have that.
Yeah, it's option. Sort of one of the main disadvantages is you don't get the development tools, you don't get to create your own stuff.
Yeah. What would be really cool though is if they took is if they maybe either did like a re-release or did like a pack download of like maybe some extra levels they created, or
I know
like
they're going to have DLC sometime this year.
Yeah,
they haven't said exactly what is, except that they're going to have it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the first one is free, or depending on I know it's free on everything except for 360. I mean, it may be free on 360, but
yeah,
it's definitely free on PlayStation 3 and PC.
Well, if it's more levels, I would definitely pay for that.
7 miles, turn right on Indiana 8.
Well, if you want some more content, you can try the developer's commentary mode. I mean, it's not giving you any extra levels, but it does give you some more interesting facts.
Which would be nice. Yeah, I think I might do that when I go back through.
How long did it take you to finish?
I'm not sure. Because like I said, I played it in like two or three sittings. That first sitting, I played it like all night.
Turn right on Indiana 8.
Maybe like 3 or 4 hours that I played all night. And I got a little over halfway through the game on that one. And then the other two, one sitting was cut short just because I had something to do that day. But I don't know, I think I maybe played for about 45 minutes, an hour. And then that last sitting was maybe 2.5 or so. So I guess
continue 11 miles on Indiana 8.
Maybe 7 or 8 hours if I did my math in my head right.
Okay.
About 7 or 8 hours.
I think I was 12 or 13.
Yeah.
But I'm mentally handicapped.
Well,
I can't get my mind around.
Well, there were some of those. Some of those puzzles were remarkably easy, you know, that to figure out once I walked in there the first time and just saw a few things and like, oh, okay, whatever. Even when they seemed like they were really complicated. And then there were some of them, like the one you had to help me on, which wasn't all that hard to figure out, but for some reason I just sat there and stared at it forever. There was one in particular that pissed me off because of how long it took me to figure out. The one with the, it was one of the, when you were in the older Aperture Science, the wings, with the red or orange repulsion gel or whatever, when they introduced that one, the one that had like the different islands.
Yeah.
And, the gel just coming out with the two tubes.
Yeah. Definitely.
That one took me forever just because I just walked around going, how the hell does all of this stuff fit together? And the thing that took me the longest, that like must have taken me like 20 minutes of staring at it to figure out, was that I was supposed to put the one portal on like where I was launching myself out of to get the blue bouncy one onto the one thing so I could go get the cube. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. That's what I was missing, was that one thing. So there were at least 3 or 4 of them like that that were like,
yes, yeah, slap.
Yeah, like Jesus, man. Really? Yeah.
I think that's about all for Portal 2.
Okay.
So a while back, you told me there were some reality television shows you wanted to talk about.
And yeah, well, we were doing our Don't Touch That Dial bit.
Yeah.
And you know, so we just kind of started bouncing around shows that were like, oh, we should hit this, or oh, we should hit that. And a lot of the more reality shows that were popping up.
Yeah, that's the problem with when I guess you suggested we talk about maybe Auction Hunters and
Storage Wars. And then what? There has to be another 2 or 3 shows that have popped up like that now.
Yeah, there are a couple. There was at least one other you specifically mentioned that I can't recall at the moment. But and I was sort of ready to talk about that, and we're going to talk about it now. But I've got to start off with saying I am just tired of reality shows. I have reality show fatigue. There are 2 reality shows that I enjoy. Well, there's one that I enjoy, and there's one that I can sort of stand watching right now. And the one that I enjoy is Pawn Stars, because I hadn't watched any of that until the beginning of the summer. And they rerun it on Lifetime, like, every day. They have, like, 2 straight hours of that. And I think they've been on for 3 or 4 years now, so...
Yeah.
That's, you know, at least 30 episodes for me to, you know... So, it's constantly new, and it's sort of Antiques Roadshow, which... Yeah. I enjoy
that is
people coming in each time, yeah. So it's all different stuff, and you're worrying history about it. And I don't know, something about the people involved is interesting.
Yeah, that one doesn't get old near as fast as some of the other ones do.
But my dad had this habit of this summer where every time American Pickers was on, we would watch American Pickers.
Yeah.
And, you know, they would have, like, 2 straight hours of it almost every night on, you know, History or whatever it's channel
history.
It's on.
Yeah, it's on History.
On History. And I just, by the end of maybe the second week, I just couldn't stand it. I mean,
that's the one that sticks in your craw.
I don't know what is about it, whether it's the host or just the look of things, but I just... cannot sit through American Pickers.
I see.
I don't know specifically what it is, just that it annoys me and I want to smash the television whenever it's on.
I
have that internal reaction of sort of anger, and I don't know why. I just, why is this a show?
Why
is it on? Why can't we turn? Why have we watched several hours of it this week?
It's the same thing.
And now they having, I don't know if you've heard, but there are 2 knockoff shows coming out.
Oh God, no, I didn't.
There are, I think the first one is called Lady Pickers, and it's on the Lifetime Network.
Okay.
And there's one on Fox that's launching in about a week where it's like these 2 twin brothers go to people's houses, and it's not exactly like they're picking, but it's clearly inspired by the format where they will go to people's houses, they will tell them what their stuff is worth.
Okay.
So maybe it's more of Antique Roadshow goes to your house.
Yeah.
But
I guess
it's clearly inspired by
Pickers.
Or that would be my guess given Pickers ratings right now.
Yeah.
Let's push something out real quick that knocks out Pickers.
It is kind of inexplicable why that show is popular, though. Because I'm not near as burned out on that show as you are, but then again, I didn't have my dad force-feeding 2 hours of it down my throat every week. So, you know, I didn't get as burned out on reality shows, I think, just because I really could care less about reality shows, and I usually, like, did not, you know, like strive to like watch them, you know, or anything. And when I did watch them, like that American Picker show or anything like that, it's usually I'm passing through the channels. It just happens to be on, and I'm like, okay, I guess this is what I'm watching type thing. But that American Pickers is like kind of inexplicable it being popular. I don't get it. Really, I don't. It's not like I hate the show, but.
No, and I can sort of get why my dad likes it. It's just I don't like it. I can't see it.
And I will give you this: the hosts are a wee bit annoying because sometimes they have these same tendencies that pop up everywhere they go. That after a while, you just kind of get a little sick of it. It's like, okay, I get it. You're into bikes. You're weird. You know, or. I can't remember what the other one's, like, what his little thing is that he has to get into.
Like cars or...
Uh-huh. Little toy stuff or, like, the signs or something like that.
Signs.
You know, it just, I think it's just some of their little things that they try to throw out as, like, it almost feels like they're trying to make a catchphrase or something, and it's not working.
Yeah.
It's not sticking, and you're just like, stop saying that.
And there are, There are a couple of, I don't know, my biggest problem with summer television is it's dominated by reality shows.
Yeah.
And there are some reality shows that I like I do enjoy Pawn Stars right now. I will watch The Apprentice and Celebrity Apprentice, but I'm not an active viewer. It's something I'll put on the background while I'm doing other things.
Uh-huh.
And then occasionally, if the conflict gets intense enough, I will focus my attention on. So,
yeah.
Okay, what crazy thing is Gary Busey doing right now?
That is the
it's
one reason to watch
the
that.
Kite.
Oh God, that was brilliant.
And I love Top Chef.
Yeah.
We also watch as a family. We try and watch the next Food Network star whenever that's on, which mm-hmm. is summer's Food Network get 9, and
yeah.
it's not as good as Top Chef, but yeah, it's in an Top Chef off season,
mm-hmm.
and it's at 9.
Top Chef off season.
My parents
it's
usually
the ex-
aren't
it's
up at 10.
It's the exhibition games.
On. Yeah, basically. And Top Chef, I can only really, this year they sort of oversaturated where they had Top Chef, then they had Top Chef Masters. I think they, well, they had Top Chef Desserts, which in college we don't get Bravo,
mm-hmm.
so I didn't get to watch any of that at all.
Yeah.
I think the new season is coming around in a couple weeks, so I'll talk about that when that's on. I'll give that a try.
Okay.
And then they went straight into Top Chef All-Stars, which was them bringing back older contestants and mm-hmm. having them get another shot. And then they had Top Chef Masters, which is where they have more established chefs
yeah.
compete. And they revamped the Top Chef Masters format, which was we'll have like 5 or 6 established like famous chefs
mm-hmm.
a week, and then whoever wins that particular week will come back in a couple months and they'll do like the best of round of, you know, all
yeah.
of the champions.
Yeah.
But this time they changed it so it's like regular Top Chef where you'll have 16 of them and they're sticking around the entire season.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't really like that. I didn't get to know them as well. Just a little bit off-putting. So then by the end of that season, I didn't really care.
Yeah.
And then they've had like a couple months break with something called like Rocco's Dinner Party, which I think is produced by the same people because the serve has the same format. Yeah, like, okay, I'm Rocco. I'm a chef guy. I own some restaurants.
Hey, Rocco,
each week I'm gonna have like 4 people cater dinner party for me, and by the end of the night only one of them is a winner.
Huh.
In catering.
In catering. You're a winner.
Yeah.
8.3 miles, turn left on South Keaton Street.
And I can stand Storage Wars, I don't like it,
yeah.
but I can watch it and not be annoyed.
Yeah.
It's just never one of those things that I'm sort of, why is this a I don't
See,
quite understand why people like this.
Now, Storage Wars, I completely understand. Because Storage Wars has their weird
Turn
little...
Turn left on South Keaton Street.
Their weird little cast of characters that all show up, which just gives you this weird little atmosphere that you're watching.
Yeah, give me your take on Storage Wars and Auction Hunters,
Auction Hunters.
I believe, is
yeah.
your favorite of the two.
Yeah.
There are 3 of these shows, and they're all about people go to these storage sales, which,
uh-huh.
if you haven't watched any of these, it's, if you have a storage unit, if you don't pay your bill after so long, they will auction off the contents to people.
Yes.
And there are 3 reality series following this at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Storage Wars, which I think was the first, but I'm not sure. Is on A&E.
I'm not sure because Auction Hunters was the first one I saw and then noticed Storage Wars.
Yeah.
But then again, I'm not on A&E a lot, so.
And
yeah.
that one is very stylized. It's very well produced.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell. I mean, it's high quality cameras, well edited, all everything.
Mm-hmm. Continue 6.4 miles on South Keaton Street.
If you're interested in auctions and auction.
Yeah.
Then there's Auction Hunters, which is on Spike.
Yep, Spike.
And that has what? Who are the 2 guys?
Tun is the big guy, and then I want to say Mike is the smaller one of the 2.
And Storage Wars, they're like 6 people,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah.
And,
the other one is.
They always have the same auctioneer. They must do a
yeah.
deal with who, wherever they're going. Like,
uh-huh.
if you want us to televise this, you have to bring in our auctioneer and our people. Because there's no way every single one of these places is hiring the same auctioneer.
Yeah, no.
Because you can see from Auction Hunters, they all have different auctioneers, and it's all like
people.
Different groups of people
yeah.
aside from the 2 leads.
Yeah, because that's the draw of Storage Wars, is just that same cast of characters that shows up.
And there is another one on True TV, which I forget the name of, which is, say, if Storage Wars is the top tier and Auction Hunters is in the middle, mm-hmm. True TV is bottom of the barrel. I mean, yeah. It's very low quality.
Yeah.
Just from the visually, I mean, it mm-hmm. doesn't seem like they're using high definition cameras or high quality cameras. The camera work is sometimes shaky. The editing is very lax. And I only saw one episode, but it didn't grab my attention at all. Mm-hmm. Again, I will admit this isn't something I have a real interest in, mm-hmm. but like I said, I will sit and watch Storage Wars if there's nothing else on. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
I guess my take on it is Storage Wars, I get. I know why I like Storage Wars, because the people are entertaining. The one I don't understand why I like it so much is Auction Hunters. I really don't get it. But I'll sit there and watch like 4 or 5 episodes of that thing in a row. And I don't even know why. Now, I'm not crazy enough to like sit there and watch reruns of it. Like, if I've seen it, I'll go, okay, I've seen this, I can move on. But there's something about that show that for some reason I enjoy. And I think it might be the two people that are the leads in it. I have no idea why I like them as much as I do, but yeah, that one I don't quite get, but maybe that show for some reason has the same effect on me like what like American Pickers has on your dad, or like he just for some reason likes it for an inexplicable reason. But yeah, I don't know, the two guys are fun, I think, and I don't know, I guess I like the whole atmosphere of the show and like the whole, I guess I might just be into the whole idea of buying the, you know, auctioned off units and stuff like that. That might be why I like it. But I mean, it's like you described, it's pretty much middle of the ground. Like the one, like the Storage Wars is like the higher quality.
Based in production
value. Production value wise, and you know, this one's kind of, you know, I'm certainly not like an absolutely rabid Fanatic fan, because it's not like I'm following it from week to week. It's more like whenever Spike has like 2 or 3 episodes in a row, I'll you know, sit down and watch the 2 or 3 episodes to see if there's any that I hadn't seen. You know what I mean? And that's pretty much how I treat reality TV. There's not a lot of them that I've been willing to like just follow from week to week. You know what I mean? Actually, the shows like Apprentice or ones like that, those are actually the ones I can't stand. You know what I mean?
I can understand a little bit why, but why don't you elaborate?
I don't know. It's just, I think it's the complete sheer and utter fakeness of the whole atmosphere. I just cannot stand it. Which is odd, because it's not like some of those other ones don't have some of that same. Because, I mean, like, you know, when you like with Auction Hunters, for instance, when you watch Auction Hunters, you get that sense of, you know, kind of sort of half-assed scripted feel out of it, you know what I mean? Because there's no way that the guy with the camera walked into the store, shut the door behind him, and then stood there for a few seconds, and the guy didn't go, wait, what's going on? So, you know, you kind of get the feeling like they might have had this conversation before, sort of.
Yeah, you get that on, Pawn Stars too, like the end segment of each episode.
Yeah, you brought that up once.
I am 90% sure those are scripted, because there's no way they just happen to have this moment where some guys are, so, what about Rick? Yeah, Rick, he just got in a bad, I mean, he lost $1,300 on this thing. What? What are you talking about? What? Oh, damn it, Ricky. Damn it, why can't you do it? Yeah, I found a buyer, boss, and then Chumley has the item on in Alvin the Chipmunk's marionette. And then Rick goes off just shaking his head, and credits.
Yeah.
I mean, that is sitcom writing.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, you get that with all the shows, but I think it's just the sheer level of ineptitude in some of those reality shows that I never understood the appeal.
Is this a stop or a go?
It's just a yellow flashing light, so it's just a caution. So yeah, those are actually the ones I can't stand. That's actually the ones that stopped me from watching reality TV. And I actually used to be into
fresh,
like the,
what does that mean? Fresh oil sign.
I think it's just warning you that that there's fresh oil on the ground and that it might kind of.
Oh, I thought they were like selling oil.
No.
It's a government sign telling us that we can buy oil.
No, Robert.
Freshly made.
They're trying to say that the road's new and that there's fresh oil on the road and that you should keep that in mind.
Okay. Alright, so what were
you? I used to be into, like, you know, the American Idol and the stuff like that, because I am...
Almost here?
Yeah, we are. Because I am, like, the music guy, I suppose, but even those shows got...
7 miles, arrive at Melody Drive-In, on right.
Got ridiculously fake, and I especially started hating American Idol for the, you know, just the sheer fact that it was just a popularity contest. That once
Another
they got
white
their
guy with the guitar wins.
Yeah, once they got their cast of people that were cookie cutter molds of the people from last year, you know, once they got them lined up, yeah, I just never got into the whole drama. Yeah, but then again,
Melody Driving on right.
But then again, some people are like really into that drama, and I think that might be why they liked like The Apprentice or stuff like that. They like watching drama happen. You know, even if it feels like scripted drama. They like watching drama happen. So, but the only one... Yeah, it looks right.
Yes.
The only okay. one that I think that I'm going to be following is The Voice. And that's just because I got into it.
Let's pause the just last for a second here. I can add this out.
Okay, get off my movie theater. All right. So, we've arrived at our destination, but because it's in a different time zone, we are now 2 hours...
Until the show starts.
So there is no one here.
There is a van at the border, which may be of the owner. I can't tell.
I'm guessing the owners live in this little house over here. You know?
It could
be. It would make sense.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so we can wrap up what we were talking about.
Which I believe was reality shows.
Yeah, all I was going to say was the only one that I'm considering following now is The Voice, since because I got into it when I watched the first season off of Hulu.
You watched the entire first season?
I watched the entire first season because you wanted me to audition for this season. Which I didn't make it, so you're not going to see me on TV.
Damn.
I know.
Not until our show gets greenlit.
We'll get there someday. yeah, I was going to audition for it, so I decided I was going to watch at least a few episodes to get an idea of how the show goes. And then I ended up really liking the way the show ran.
Yeah?
And just the way the way the show goes, so I just went ahead and watched the whole damn thing. And the thing that really drew me to the show was, you know, again, that whole authenticity feel, I think, is really the key when it comes to those reality shows, how authentic it feels. And it felt remarkably authentic, especially when you compared it to, like, American Idol or any of the other shows that they've had out. The contestants felt really genuine. The whole atmosphere felt really genuine about it, and especially even, like, the four people that they brought in, which I wasn't expecting it to, but they felt really, I don't know, genuine. Like, after a while, they decided, oh, I actually am interested in what's going on here. I didn't expect it to be. Except for CeeLo. CeeLo always feels like he's not quite where he is. I don't know, he's weird. He always feels like he's not quite in the same room as everybody else is.
Nice.
But anyway, yeah, that's probably the only one that I'm going to consider actually following from week to week when it comes back.
All right, and we can talk about that in February,
yes.
I think.
And I believe is when it comes.
We'll talk about Top Chef Just Desserts when it premieres in 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe you can watch it too. So, you yeah. can have an idea what I'm
we can
talking
get
about.
We can get perspective.
So you won't be like, why am I? And then the quick fire, and you're like, hold on.
Hold on.
What's a quick fire? Unless that's very podcasty of, let's explain this thing, because we're on an audio medium.
It's true. So yeah, this was our inaugural.
Well, okay, I guess our first real...
Real. I mean, like, you had the one.
Our Cowboys and Aliens was more of a test. But,
yeah, it was a test. See if worked. We could do this. But this was an actual, he sat down and said, hey, let's do this. So, yeah.
So keep that in mind when we start suing each other for copyright purposes.
Uh-huh.
He admitted it was my idea.
That's true. Drop the thaw.
You know what's great? $1 billion.
Yeah, we watched that recently, too, so.
Yeah, you'd never seen The Social Network.
No, yeah, I hadn't seen it, but, so yeah. So yeah, we're really into catching up on things that are months old.
Maybe that'll be a bit.
What thing that was 3 or 4 months old did we catch up on now?
This week, Nikita.
Yeah, because that was 3 months old.
Well, it finished 3 months ago.
Well, yeah, it did, didn't it? I forgot there was a new one. Wasn't there?
Yeah.
Wow, I completely forgot about that.
No, you're thinking about...
I was thinking about the original Nikita. Like,
how about Heat?
I just saw Heat.
That's it for this episode.
Yep.
I'm Robert.
I'm Jared.
And hear you next time. Or you'll hear us insert catchphrase.
Yeah, we're working on that.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Bye. Oh, that can be our catchphrase. Thanks for listening.
Nice.